in the Jordan Valley as well, you have the phenomenon of herders. Some people like to call them Bedouins. I'm not big on the term because when I think Bedouin, I think of, you know, the tall, strong man on the camel, walking around, being nomadic, herding animals. That's not really the case here. The people that are called Bedouin here are sedentary. They do live in established villages, but their villages are not recognized by Israel as being legitimate. So you have around 9 to 15,000 Palestinians of the Jordan Valley are living a herding lifestyle. They rely on animals in very small-time subsistence farming for their living. So they will have goats and sheep for wool and cheese, and they will have goats for cleaning up and for selling for meat. So they also sell the meat during the Muslim holidays because it's very popular to buy a goat or a sheep on the holidays and kill it yourself. So this is how they make their money. And they survive in the village by small-time agriculture. They'll grow tomatoes or eggplants or other fruits and vegetables for subsistence farming. They just eat it, they don't sell it. So you have about 25% of the population of the Jordan Valley living like this, and the rest are in recognized villages, villages that are recognized by the state of Israel. So they have full infrastructure, their buildings are made out of concrete, things like this. They don't have electricity, they don't have a water connection. This is a very common story. Because they don't live in a village that Israel recognizes as being legitimate, they're not allowed to connect to these services. So the herders will have to rely on water tanks, which you'll see more and more today. These big, ugly blue, yellow, or green tanks that carry water. Now, because they have to get these water tanks, that water costs them around 10 to 15 times as much as if they were connected to a water pipe. If they're connected to a water pipe, they pay 2.5 shekels per metric liter, per cubic meter for water. If they are relying on the water tank, they pay anywhere from 25 to 40 shekels for that same 1,000 liters of water. Now, in the Jordan Valley, for water, settlements are all connected, and they all, depending on which settlement they are, they get a reduced rate from the government. Their water is subsidized. So the government pays anywhere between 25 to 100% of the price of the water. So as a result, settlers on average use 487 liters per person per day of water. Now, you say, is that a lot? Well, if you look at the average Palestinian in the West Bank, they use around 75 to 80. In the Jordan Valley, if they're living in a herding community like this, it's around 10 to 15. Now, the World Health Organization, as I'm sure you've heard a million times already being here, recommends 100 liters per person per day as a bare minimum to sustain life. So if you have Palestinians out here using 10 to 20 because of the cost of water is so high, and you have settlers using 487, you're looking at a 20 to 1 ratio. Now, to talk about the villages, if you live in a Palestinian village, it's recognized, it gets water from the Israeli National Water Carrier, they do get water, and they do get around 80 liters per person per day. But this is a quota. They have a limit on how much water they can use. And once they hit that limit, the water turns off. As opposed to settlements do not have this kind of quota being put on them.
What is 80 liters per day per person?
If they're connected to a Palestinian, if they're connected to a water network, 80 liters per person per day on average. Now, so they have a water quota not only on their personal use, but also their agricultural use. What happened in 1967 was the area had around 200 to 250,000 Palestinians. But because of a forced campaign of forced transfer, mostly to Jordan, the area, after 2 weeks of the war, had only 15,000 Palestinians remaining. Now, of this 15,000, most of them were in Jericho, with a few in some of the villages that are still around today, like some of the ones we'll go to. And the Israelis set up the first settlements in the West Bank, in the Jordan Valley, because the Jordan Valley is full of water resources and vast agricultural land. So almost all the settlements in the Jordan Valley are agricultural by nature. They grow fruits and vegetables for export, specifically to the European Union, because they're able to grow fruits and vegetables at times of the year in which the European market simply cannot. It's because of the way climates work. Now also, if you look on your left, first of all, this is the settlement of Rimonim. We're now entering the Jordan Valley. There are 606 settlers living there. They are an agricultural settlement. That's one of the newer settlements of the Jordan Valley. Most were built between 1967 and 1977. Only a few were built. built afterwards. Most of the Jordan Valley settlers in general are not religious, they're not nationalistic, they're simply there because they get money. They're getting paid to be out there. Most of them were lower class Israeli Jews from the Arab world who had a little bit of money, and after 67 they bought a farm in the Jordan Valley, and now they're middle class. That's what most of the Jews out here are, most of the settlers. They're simply lower class Jews who wanted to kind of move up the social mobility ladder. And they did that by investing in a farm in the Jordan Valley. And there are only two or three settlements in the Jordan Valley which were religious. When we go by them, I'll point them out. Four, maybe. So back to the issue of water. So Israel monopolized the water in the area by putting military orders on the process for building an agricultural well. If you want to build an agricultural well, or renovate it, or rehabilitate it, make it more efficient, anything, you had to get a permit from the Israelis. And the Israelis very quickly just denied Palestinians flat out, and they processed the ones for settlements very quickly. So most of the wells in the Jordan Valley that you see now are Israeli. Most of the water piping you see is Israeli, and anything really water related has been completely monopolized. Now, it's not only for the settlements, it's also for East Jerusalem settlements, it's also for Israel proper. They use the water very liberally, and they use it for every single purpose. Now, this area that we're going down is called Moat Ojet. There is a herding community that's spread out throughout the whole road. It's a very beautiful road if you have a chance to view it while I'm talking. It has around 200 Palestinians. They live in the top section and the bottom section. And they're of the Roshaide family and Kaabne family. They're herders who moved here in the 1950s and 1960s. Been living here since. So also, if you look on your right, you can see one of the green and yellow water tanks. That is about 3 cubic meters, so 3,000 liters of water. That would probably cost them 75 to 100 shekels, depending on where they bought it from. So, in addition to monopolizing water in the Jordan Valley, what the Israelis did in many areas, in most areas of the Jordan Valley, is they monopolized land as a resource. So because so many Palestinians left so quickly, and they were not allowed back, Israel nationalized or declared state land on most of the land of the Jordan Valley. This is how they're able to control so much of it, even to this day. So a lot of villages will have a very small amount of agricultural land, and they can. Most families in the Jordan Valley don't actually have any agricultural land for their own anymore, and their villages have reached capacity for the agricultural land they do have. So because of this, many Palestinians simply work in the settlements. They work in the settlements from usually 6 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon, and they will get paid around 50 shekels for the day. Although under even Israeli law, they're guaranteed around 200 shekels a day. They also don't receive social security, health care, pension, anything, sick days, whatever. And they will work in the settlement simply because there's no alternative. Now also with the settlements, they also are very known for hiring children. If you ever get bored and you want to go online and check out our webpage, we have videos documenting children who work in settlements. We have found children as young as 11 and 12 years old working in the settlements, doing the same very hard farm labor that their brothers, their fathers, their uncles. Okay, so areas A, B, and C. Yeah. A is 17% of the West Bank, and it falls under full Palestinian civil and security control, in theory. This means that you'll find Palestinian police. The municipalities have civil rule there, etc. That's 17%. That's basically the downtown areas of the major cities. Area B are the villages that are recognized by Israel that are outside of the cities. Okay. So this is around 22% of the West Bank. Okay. This is the villages. It means that it's shared control. So the Palestinians are in control of civil affairs. So the schools will be Palestinian run. And then the policing will be done by Israel. Area C is full Israeli control, which means that all policing, all civil affairs are done by the Israeli Civil Administration. So if you need permits for anything, you go to the Israelis. You want to build a house, you go to the Israelis. And because they are Palestinians living in unrecognized villages, Israel does not give them permits for building.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Jordan Valley is 95% Area C.
Okay.
Meaning under full Israeli control.
Okay.
Look down in the valley, you can kind of see villages where water clearly used to be, but is no longer. This will be a common theme of the day. Basically, the Jordan Valley has had too much water extracted too fast by Israel. That's the main problem. A lot of people like to talk about scarcity in the Jordan Valley. It's not an issue of scarcity. It's an issue of monopolization. Simply too much water too fast and it's going to this one place. If the water were conservatively used or just not extracted so fast, the area would not be facing such a drought that it is.